Numbers 29. Now in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It shall be to you a day for blowing trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a soothing aroma to the Lord, one bull, one ram, seven male lambs, 1 year old without defect. Also their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. And offer one male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering of the new moon and its grain offering, and the continual burnt offering and its grain offering, and their libations according to their ordinance, for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then on the 10th day of this seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall humble yourselves. You shall not do any work. And you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord as a soothing aroma, one bull, one ram, seven male lambs, 1 year old, having them without defect, and their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the one ram, 1/10 for each of the seven lambs, one male goat for a sin offering, besides the sin offering of atonement, and the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and their libations. Then on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no laborious work, and you shall observe a feast to the Lord your for 7 days. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, 13 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old, which are without defect, and their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, and 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs, 1 male goat for a sin offering besides a continual burnt offering, its grain offering, and its libation. Then on the second day, 12 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, and their grain offering, and their libations for the bulls, and the rams, and the lambs, by their number according to the ordinance, 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and their libations. Then on the third day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and their grain offering and their libations for the bulls, the rams, and for the lambs, by their number according to the ordinance. 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and its libation. Then on the fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, their grain offering and their libations for the bulls, for the rams, and for lambs, by their number according to the ordinance. And 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, its grain offering, and its libation. Then on the fifth day, 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, their grain offering and their libations for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number according to the ordinance. And 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides a continual burnt offering, and its grain offering, and its libation. Then on the sixth day, 8 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, their grain offering and their libations for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, and by their number according to the ordinance. And 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, its grain offering, and its libations. Then on the seventh day, 7 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, and their grain offering and their libations for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number according to the ordinance. 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides a continual burnt offering, its grain offering, and its libation. On the eighth day you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall do no laborious work, but you shall present a burnt offering, an offering by fire, as a soothing aroma to the Lord. 1 bull, 1 ram, 7 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, their grain offering and their libations for the bull, for the ram, and for the lambs, by their number according to the ordinance, and 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and its libation. You shall present these to the Lord at your appointed times, besides your votive offerings and your freewill offerings, for your burnt offerings, and for your grain offerings, and for your libations, and for your peace offerings. And Moses spoke to the sons of Israel in accordance with all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Amen. Okay. So if you remember from yesterday, he's laying out basically the calendar for all the Jewish feasts. And so he dealt with altogether there's 7, but he just does 5. The 2 that are omitted is the Passover, which they actually talked about, and then Pentecost, the Pesach and the Shavuot. So they'll omit that because it's more of a season and, I mean, celebration. And then you get to the last three here. So if you remember yesterday, we had the Passover, then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then the Feast of Weeks, or what they call the Feast of First Fruits. Typically what would happen, and then you'd have Pentecost, which is the reaping of the harvest, and then you have the Feast of Trumpets. So let me just go over these a little bit, kind of one by one. So the Feast of Trumpets is the seventh month. On the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. And notice in each of these ones, the first thing that's implied here is you're not going to do any work. In other words, this time is just holy, dedicated, and devoted to God. And so you put aside your duties. And you remember, this is primarily speaking into an agricultural society, a bunch of farmers, basically. And so they're not to do any work, and they come into this. Now, the Lord seemingly really likes trumpets. And so if you took trumpet when you're in high school or something, right, you took up the Lord's instrument. And seemingly enough, the reason why, it goes all the way back to Genesis when Abraham sacrificed Isaac, and what was left in there, it was a ram. And so particularly it was the ram's horns that were caught into the bush in the thicket of it. And so they've always used the ram's horn, which was the trumpet, right? Now we have a different kind of trumpet, made of brass, but the ram's horn was always used as a call. In fact, if you remember in Leviticus, I think it's 25, but you correct me on that. In Leviticus, it talks about that that the year of Jubilee is where they were going to pronounce liberty. And so liberty, they're going to blow the trumpet, and liberty is going to be pronounced to all the people in all the land, and Jubilee begins to happen. If you're an American and you've been to Philadelphia, and you remember the statue, not the Statue of Liberty, but the Liberty Bell, inscribed on the Liberty Bell is actually that verse in Leviticus, that liberty would be given to all men and all of its inhabitants. And so it's a really powerful phrase. But what they would do, the priests, before this feast was instituted, or in accordance to this feast, the priest would blow the trumpet, and that would tell all the people working on the field to stop working and then come into the house of God to worship the Lord. And so if you go to some like really, really charismatic churches, they'll start worship service by blowing the shofar. It's a big horn, and they'll go, it doesn't sound like that at all. It sounds more majestic. But they'll blow this horn. Sorry, I don't know why I did that. They'll blow this horn, and it would basically be a call to worship. And so, very, very, in a very traditional setting, but it was meant for people to basically stop what you're doing, come into God's house, and let's worship the Lord. And interesting enough, in the New Testament, the blowing of the trumpet meant the coming of Christ. You could almost say literally, stop everything you're doing. It's really a second coming, right? The trumpet will blow, and then he will appear in a blink of an eye. And so we see the same imagery. It's the same idea. Stop everything you're doing and worship the Lord. Come into God's house and worship the Lord. And when the great trumpet blows, think about it. We're going to stop everything that we're doing, and we're literally going to go into God's house, into his mansion that is provided, and he's preparing many rooms for us. And you can see this really beautiful equivalent of how that works, taking from the Old Testament, the feast, and then seeing how it manifests in the New Testament. And so, there's all these offerings. We don't have to go through all that stuff. And then on the 10th day, verse 7, of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. And so now in the seventh month, the first day, and now you have the 10th day of the seventh month, and you'll humble yourselves, and you'll not do any work. The verse, the idea when it says you shall humble yourselves, you know the primary mode of humility in, Leviticus will talk about it in depth. You know what it is? It was fasting. And so this now opens up what we call the Day of Atonement in Hebrew. It's Yom Kippur. And so this is the day that the priest goes into the Holy of Holies and he makes atonement for the sins of Israel. It's a once a year a festival, and this one is now accompanied. Everyone in this particular one, the high priest goes in to make the offering, where the other ones that everyone kind of had their part, but this one people participated by fasting, and so you participated by humbling yourself through fasting. The priest went in and offered the sacrifice. And if you look at it, it's really quite a beautiful picture in that regard. In other words, the priest, the lamb, he's gonna take care of all the work per se of the sacrifice, just like Christ took care of the work for us. But you need to participate as well. Jesus died for all the sins of the world. For God so loved the world, the cosmos, but guess what? You need to participate by having faith in him. You need to participate by trusting him and inviting him into your life. A gift that's given, but a gift that must be received. Okay? In the same context, yesterday I bought some kinetic sand for the girls, you know, to play with. I offered them a gift, but it's theirs. They own it. But the reality is they need to receive it, and then it becomes theirs. It's always theirs. It was meant for them, right? I bought it for them. It belongs to them. You know, this one, I got the green one that belongs to Hannah. It's hers, but she needs to receive it. And then it fully becomes hers. And really the story of salvation is pretty much the same way. God died for all the sins of the world. He died for every single person on this planet. But yet, there must be reception to actualize the gift, per se. And so in that way, the priest did the work, right? In other words, we say Jesus finished the work, but the reality is people needed to participate in it. And so that's why, you know, we're not universalists, okay? We don't believe in that kind of stuff. And then the last one, that was a Day of Atonement. It's called Yom Kippur. And then the last one here, and this is a really lengthy one, and this is what's called the Feast of Booths, or sometimes it's called the Feast of Tabernacles, and Hebrew is Sukkot. And you'll notice that this one is really long. And primarily, they believe it's long and has so many details in it because this was the last of the feasts. And this was at the end of the year, and basically, this was a wrapping up of the year, everything that God has done, and so it was totally comprehensive. I mean, there's so much that goes on every single day. There's dozens of sacrifices that you have to take care of. Interesting enough, Josephus, as he, the great Jewish historian, as he writes this, he says in a typical year, Israel would have sacrificed 250,000 sheep. Can you believe that? 250,000 sheep. That's in his estimate during this. We're not even talking about bulls, you know, and all these other stuff. And so it was a lot of sacrificing going on during this time. And the Feast of Booths, or Sukkot, this is a reminder that when they were out in the wilderness, that what they did is they slept in tents, basically. And they were taken from slavery, and they resided for a season of their lives in tents. And they dwelt there, and God provided for them, manna. God provided for them water. God provided for them quails, you know, all kinds of things. And so they're meant to live outside. And so literally, families camp out for 7 days. They go outside of their house, in our day and time, is basically your backyard or whatnot, And they would all live out there kind of more primitively. And it was to remind them that their fathers also slept in tents. And they not necessarily suffered, but they were full of joy. I mean, I don't know what you guys are like, but my kids love camping out. I mean, it's so I loved it when I was little. You know, I was a Boy Scout for many years, and I love camping out. And so with my family, when we go back home to California every year, one of my friends owns a ranch right on the base of Yosemite. And so we go, and all the kids camp. I mean, it's freezing cold. You know, California desert is cold at night, if you've not known. And it's freezing, but they're like, we want to sleep outside. And so we have like 15 kids in this huge tent, and they're all out there while all the adults are nice and warm inside. But they love it. And it was really a festival more than anything else. And that's what all these feasts, that's what they call them, feasts. But again, it was this reminder, right, of the protection of God. And a way that we can look at it here in the modern church is it's this habitation, this protection. God takes us out of slavery, out of our sin, and he puts us into, in essence, his habitation. And in that place, we're totally safe. You know, the wilderness is dangerous. That's why they call it the wilderness. But yet God protected them all the way through. And it's really, in many ways, a sign of the end times, in the sense that God is going to protect his people, that they're going to be protected in his shelter, even though it may seem primitive. Now, this whole idea also Paul picks up later on when he would talk about this idea of tents. And so this idea of our house is what he would consider to be permanent residence, which is where? It's in heaven. And on earth, that we live in tents. And he talks about, you know, that's why it's foolish to put a foundation in a tent, because then the wind comes, it'll tear it apart. The idea of a tent is it's mobile. And Paul, you know, uses this imagery to remind us that our life on earth is temporary. Our life on earth is momentary. Our true home is in heaven. And so don't fill your tent with wealth. Don't fill your tent with things that are not eternal. It's mobile. It's loose. It's God calls us anytime and we're gone in that essence. I mean, he does a really beautiful play on this idea of tents, or, you know, in the Feast of Booths, or in the Hebrew word, the booths, and this, the temporary nature of our lives, right? So Jesus reminds us to store our treasure in heaven instead of here on earth. And we'll see how this is laid out. Okay? Amen? So, going back, so you have the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of, or the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. They're laid out, and this will sum up the Jewish festivals, the five that's laid here, and then again, Passover and Pentecost. So let's close our eyes. Each of these feasts has a church equivalent or New Testament. But a lot of this really talks about the end. Are you ready for the end? Will you be ready when the trumpet sounds? You know, for you that are listening here in the sanctuary, and so many others that are listening online, have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? That trumpet's going to sound one day, and God's going to call all his children home in a blink of an eye. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let the Holy Spirit whisper into your hearts, do you have assurance of salvation? Remember, you need to participate in this. He died for your sins. You need to receive Him. How do you do that? By praying. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, Romans says, Paul tells us, you'll be saved. There's believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. And as we sing, let's ask Holy Spirit to probe our hearts. Do you have assurance of salvation today?
Thank you. back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Let's pray this morning. If you're unsure that you belong to God, pray. Ask Him into your life. If you have assurance of salvation, thank Him for it. Thank Him for that grace in your life. Let's pray this morning. Pray for our community that's battling cancer. Let's pray that victory will be won by Christ in their lives. Pray for full recovery, full healing for all of our friends and family members. And let's lift them up. Pray for our community that's battling illness, but also that needs to trust Christ. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Community battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word in our lives. You know, just as an update, I took my name off because I got cleared by my doctor for my shoulder. It's not 100% yet, but it's good enough to play ball. That's all I care about. So thanks for praying for me. Thank you. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Huh? Let's pray for God's hand. You'll notice one of the names came off. Mila found a job, and so praise God. Let's just keep praying for other friends. God would release them as well. Mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore and Indonesia. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to bless these countries. Pray for SP Singh. They are still looking for a place. They need to be out of their place by, I think it's July or June or July, and so they're still looking for a place to meet. And so let's really pray for the board as they try to figure out the next steps for them. It's quite important. Pray for Indonesia, pray for our Indonesian ministry, and we have a summer trip going to Kupang this year, and let's pray for God's favor and volunteers to come out and support this team. Let's lift up right now. Let's cover our missions committee. Let's ask the Lord to lead us to increase God's reach in our lives as a church, and also through the nations here, particularly throughout Asia. There's a lot more work on this committee, and so let's pray that they would do their work well with great joy and great wisdom. Let's pray over our local outreach. Pray for the community center, Igape, homeless ministry, SP Lights, Freedom, and Bridge. And pray that God would continue to develop more ministries that our church body can get involved in loving our local community. Pray for Tim and Janella as they lead, and all the other volunteers in these ministries. Pray that Holy Spirit would really lead us and guide us to make an impact around this area. Activities tonight. Let's pray for SPU, the college group. There actually is no EG tonight because I'm going to Beijing in a few hours. But let's pray for GIC. Let's ask the Lord to bless the classes, and the Holy Spirit would just really be upon each of us. IP is meeting tonight. Let's pray for the grace to pray and to lead our church in that way, as this cover. pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for McCain and Discovery Bay. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead our discussion times, our worship times, the times of work, that they would really draw close to God and to each other. Today we get to pray for the vine. Let's pray for Pastor Andrew Gardner. If you can read on there, the vine is a vibrant church community based in the Wan Chai District of Hong Kong. We're both a local international family made up of people born and raised in Hong Kong. Others have moved here from other countries. Our pastors and leadership consider Hong Kong to be home and are committed to building the family of God and seeing His kingdom flourish in this amazing city and beyond. So here's some prayer points that we're releasing a new focus this year on growing big people, looking at spiritual maturity as discipleship. Please pray that as we seek to grow in our relationship with Christ, that they're coming out of a four-year building project. Pray for the remaining $8.5 million debt they're carrying, that God would meet every need they have this year. And pray for the staff and their families, that they would get to the rest that they need to do, the work they're called to do. And the ever-increasing sense of God's presence in the congregation, His presence, is what we need most as we move forward in faith as a church. Let's pray for the vine and Pastor Andrew. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless the vine today. Pray for Pastor Andrew and John and Tony and other leaders there. Help them to continue to grow, Lord. I pray that truly, God, they would really disciple their people this year, God, in a way that pleases you, Father. Bless them, God. And thank you for your word today. We thank you for these feasts, these celebrations, Lord, and the way that they point to you, God. They point to Jesus the Christ who came and died for us. And so we thank you for that sacrifice, Lord. And help us, God, today, every day, to live lives worthy of that sacrifice, God. We love you, Lord. Watch over us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time and have a great day.